Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Paul is writing this letter to the Philippian church, of which everybody wanted to be a member. Philippi, the church of brotherly love. The church that didn't have any stated problems in it in the book of Revelation. The Bible says that Paul, having been delivered to Rome and was set for a trial of which he was innocent but accused, and already proclaimed guilty, was waiting on his Jewish accusers to arrive into the city of Rome and stand before Nero to confess that this man was an insurrectionist because he preaches about grace and faith through the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It was because of that he was down into the lower dungeons and sewer of Rome, awaiting for 2 years, shackled in a short chain between him and a guard every day for 2 years as he waited his trial. But he wasn't someone who was waiting, grumbling, griping, or complaining. He wasn't somebody that was there questioning whether or not God had abandoned him, or murmuring, or falling to pieces. He said, I need to get this letter out to the Philippians because they need this word of encouragement. They had some issues that were going on at the church. People were fussing against one another. And he says, and I want to read it to you from a different version. This is plain talk from Paul. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't want you to hear some story back then. I want you to hear how you're supposed to conduct yourself as a believer right now in a world of cancel culture, race, problems, and everything else under the sun. Paul said, conduct yourself in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. You better get ready for opposition if you name the name of Jesus. This is a sign, watch this, to them that will be destroyed. This is a sign. The mere persecution that they're leveling upon Christians even to this very day is a sign that they will be destroyed, turned into perdition. Perdition, King James says. And that you, it's a sign to you too, that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. I want to let everybody in this building know, and those of you watching, that if you name the name of Jesus Christ, you better get ready. There's some suffering that's up ahead. And since you're going to go through the same struggle, Paul said in verse number 30, as you see that I am and hear that I still am, if you have any encouragement of being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with his spirit, any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says, and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility considering one another better than yourself. Boy, if that one principle from the Word of God was initiated today, we'd take care of all of the hunger problems, all of the issues that are occurring in our land right now.
Hallelujah.
But Christians have become just as selfish. If they're going to see any tenderness or compassion, you're going to have to think of somebody else before you think of yourself, Paul said. each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't have to. He was God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you know who you are, you don't have to fight with anybody over it. If you know to whom you belong, you don't have to worry about whether or not they're saying you're not. If you are a believer and Satan jumps on your shoulder and says you're not a Christian, you should lift your hands and praise him that your name is written in the book, because all the devil has ever done is lie anyway. Yeah. Paul said, but me made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, was made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, humbled himself because he was obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. He goes on to tell them that there's a name that has been given to him by God, that is a name that is above every other name. Above every other name. Names in the Bible, names in society mean something. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. That's a name that's been set apart. God is described to the nation of Israel by multiple different names to reveal to them who he is to them. The names of God describe his nature. They identify him. The children of Israel knew him by those names revealed and passed down from generation to generation. Pedigree was very important to the nation of Israel and still is. Because to this day, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the generational God, the blessing comes through the chain of how God has outlined it to be. He is the all-powerful, first and last, the all-sufficient one. God's name is so holy that it is forbidden to be written down in Jewish culture or religion. Don't use the name of God in vain. He is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. He is Adonai, Lord Master. He is Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. He is Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Are you getting the picture? He is Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. He is El Elyon, the everlasting God. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And the first name given to himself by himself is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough. El Shaddai is the first time you hear about it in Genesis 17, spoken to Abraham. I am the Almighty God. That name identifies God as the one whose power is infinite and uncontrollable. He is El Shaddai. There's three things you need to know that the name of God, names of God, imply. One is that God needs nothing from anyone in order to exist. God needs no outside source to supply him. He is self-sufficient. Secondly, God is able to supply all of my needs because there is no vacuum in God. He lacks nothing. He upholds the world by the power of his word, and nothing is too hard for God. I'm trying to govern myself a little bit. I know what the Spirit of God is saying right now. I'm trying to hold back a little bit. So you pray for me. If you're going to preach with me, you better come on. I want you to know that when God's name is invoked into a situation, nothing is impossible with El Shaddai. The third thing that it implies is that God is perfect, complete, lacking nothing. El Shaddai. He is El Shaddai who needs nothing, lacks nothing, and is the all-sufficient one from whom nothing can be taken. He is complete within himself. What's in the name? You've been given a name. First, last, middle, perhaps more than that. Our enemy knows our name. Sometimes we use our name because it's known in the community. We can use our name when someone invites us to a party that we haven't been invited to get us in the door. The Bible says that a good name is better than silver and gold. Our name is what we answer to. When someone calls out our name, we respond. We respond to the name that we know is us. Just because they call you stupid, just because they call you Jumpin' Jack, you respond to the name that you identify with. It's not what you're called, but it's what you answer to. There is a meaning of a name. There is a significant name. There is power in this name. And most of all, there is a name that is above every other name, that at that name none can compare. No other is greater. No one can even be saved unless they come through the name that is given by God to His only begotten Son. You don't even name your relatives or your children by this name, because this name is so high and so holy that God alone understands the power of His name and has given Him. He gave Him a name wrapped up in the name of Jesus to reflect the purpose of His coming to this earth. And when Gabriel came down with the name and spoke to the Virgin Mary in Matthew 1:21 and declared that it's not up to you and Joseph to select the name that will be given to this holy child, but God said, you are to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and define, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. It means our salvation. It means our deliverance. It means Master. But in order to enjoy the benefits of the name of Jesus, because it's flung around today like people wear crosses around their necks that don't even know what the cross means. People fling the name of Jesus or slap it onto the back end of a prayer as a good luck charm. But if you really understand the benefits and what Jesus had to go through in order to give you the power and the authority that you use, you have to back up and understand what is being said in the previous verses before that. For the Bible says that He came down from glory, laying aside, not to deny His deity or the power of His authority, but to humble Himself and to become like a man. And God would allow Him to do this. His Father would allow Him to come down to this earth as the selected special Savior sanctified for this one purpose. And for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And He humbled Himself at the will of the Father, even to the death of the cross. Now we're understanding that we're not just talking about Jesus like there were many names of Jesus used in biblical day, but this Jesus stands out above all the rest and excels above all the rest, because He did not give this name to Himself, and it was not selected by human understanding, but God His Father said His name shall be called Jesus, because He's being sent for this one purpose, to save His people from their sin. I simply preach to you this morning that first of all, the authority that is in the name of Jesus has been given to Him by God. Man did not give that to Him. And when the name of Jesus is spoken, it has authority behind it, because He vested authority upon His Son. And Jesus walked with power and anointing and authority.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.